Golden State Warriors have recaptured home court in the NBA Finals with a stirring 107-97 win here at TD Garden. 43 points for Stephen Curry. And the Golden State Warriors go back to Chase Center for Game 5 after closing this one out on a 21-11 run. And a stunned Boston crowd. They were here to celebrate 3-1. But now have to wonder what's going to happen when they come back for Game 6.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
How much does this get the hair on the back of the neck standing up? Just in terms of, you know, we talked a lot about this, I feel like, lately. So the Dallas Cowboys played the 49ers.
Yeah.
The Dodgers won the World Series.
Oh, boy. Did that really happen? It was all the dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
There's a lot of it going around lately.
Yeah, boy.
Where's Boston? Does Boston, are they in that conversation?
They are above Dallas, in my opinion, right now.
What do you mean by above?
In the hair on the neckometer.
Oh, they bother you more than the Cowboys?
They do.
Really?
Just because of recent ownage and the fact that Dallas is almost a pat them on their head, send grandpa back to the home sort of a situation and embarrassment. Where Dallas is right now with their bumbling owner, his not very astute son.
Yeah, they're a mess.
The quarterback who's overpaid, who I actually like. Their running back who, he's hurt. And then the other guy, we're going to deactivate you. And then there's some Dowdle guy.
Yeah.
And poor CeeDee Lamb is out there with 27 targets and 23 catches and a loss. Dallas to me is like kind of a quaint History Channel rivalry
story.
Well,
they're hilarious.
They're hellacious.
Their trade deadline yesterday, if you were bothered by what the Niners did, the Cowboys were hilarious.
They got Mingo.
Mingo.
We're talking about M-I-N-G-O and Mingo was his name.
Yeah, I did not have him on my Mingo card.
That's a four.
I know that. The owner, Jerry Jones, goes on the radio earlier that morning.
Yep, sister station.
And he says, this is before the trade's even been announced, now we got a receiver we're bringing in here that who we really like.
It's a two for your Jerry.
And then you gave up a sixth round draft pick.
Something.
For like the worst receiver on the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, there's that.
What the hell are you doing?
That's why I do think that for me right now, Boston is ahead of Dallas on the hair on the back of my neckometer. The Dodgers are still number one, and they always will be in terms of, God, I hate them, and I want to beat them at all times. And then I would put Philadelphia ahead of the Dallas Cowboys, the Eagles, just because of what happened in the championship game and also what happened to our brothers, Bonte and Joe. That sticks with me.
That's all fair, but I feel like some of that's in the moment. Like, I mean, the history of the star, like the Dallas Cowboys, are pretty annoying.
Yes. And
I don't think that goes away that easily just because they're silly now.
I'm not saying it goes away, but in terms of recent ownage, the fact that you've beaten them badly last few times.
But, I mean, have you not owned the Celtics, at least when it matters?
Yes, sure. But now they're defending champs.
Okay.
And what they did to Draymond in the finals, even though they lost finals.
It didn't work.
No, but just, I think, and maybe part of it for me is my general sports hatred of Boston anyway. Like Dallas, I don't like the Cowboys, but if you want to get me all animated about the Texas Rangers or the Dallas Stars or the Dallas Mavericks, it's just not going to happen.
Well, the Mavericks are now an emotional team.
They are. But like Tuesday, the emotions aren't going to be like,
no, it's not rivalry
you,
stuff.
Dallas.
No, it's not. No, it's not that. Although you hate Luka. You hate watching Luka.
I don't like the way he throws his European body around.
And you don't like the way that he interacts with officials. Say it.
And I also don't like the flat earther who is his teammate.
Okay, so there you go. You hate the Mavericks.
I kind of sports dislike them.
Yes.
They're not in my top five of teams I hate.
No, but Dallas as a city apparently is.
No, I don't mind Dallas. Had a good time there.
Well, that's different. You're going to have a good time in Boston, too.
We went to the grassy knoll, and there was a giant sign that said, Grassy Knoll. And so we took a picture in front of the sign that said Grassy Knoll.
That's good advertising.
Pretty funny.
It's good marketing.
Because you probably wouldn't have known. It was a Grassy Knoll, but I didn't know that it was the Grassy Knoll.
Right.
If it wasn't for the 64-point font on this bright yellow sign.
I could have a good time in Los Angeles, but don't even start with their sports teams.
Sure. I mean, of the three, you hate the Rams the least.
Well, yeah.
Just because they're the Rams. They're
whatever. They don't care about them down there.
And maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but the Boston Celtics right now, I'm fully, completely agitated, and I'm excited about tonight's game. And maybe it's because you only play them twice a year, right? Like, we can all talk about the Lakers, and I don't like the Lakers, and I've got a deep history of disliking and hating the Lakers because of what they used to do to my beloved Oakland Coliseum Arena, where you'd go to a game, and there'd be 84% Laker fans, yep. And there'd be Magic jerseys, and Kareem jerseys, and Worthy. This is my childhood pre-Shaq and Kobe, of course, but it was just nauseating. And the Warriors would hang around. They'd cut it to three in the third, and then it'd be 118-99 yep. Lakers every single time.
Yep.
So personally, for me, the Lakers are always higher on the list, but you only play the Celtics twice, and you only go to Boston once, so maybe it's prisoner of the moment, but I'm all amped up about tonight.
Comcast Business Text Line has some interesting responses to what we're talking about, and again, taking your phone calls. If we gave you 8-3 at the end of next Tuesday night, are you happy with that? 888-957-9570. They are at Boston tonight. They are at Cleveland on Friday. They are at Oklahoma City Sunday. They host Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday in a game that will have not only us, but Steinie and Goo out on the plaza getting you ready for that one all afternoon long on 95.7 The Game. Let's see, 707. If we lose by five the next day, it's a should-have-won mentality. So almost would rather lose by a lot. 408, 2-2 is good if we beat the Western Conference teams. Problem is, there's only one of them on the schedule in the next four.
No, if Oklahoma City.
Oh, no, you're right. Yep. My bad. If we lose to Boston and Cleveland, it's no biggie. The conference are the bigger W's. I can jive with that.
Yep.
I just happen to think that Oklahoma City is going to be the hardest one.
Agreed. I mean, if you look at the history of any team with a five or more game road trip, the record in that last game of said road trip is probably about a 33% win percentage at the last game of any road trip that's more than four games.
917 says absolutely take the 8-3, and I'm with dibs on beating Boston and Dallas as the two wins.
Yeah, you'd like to beat OKC, but you know, that's going to be a tall order. For me, it's Boston for the emotions of it, and it's Dallas because of a number of factors. One, the Klay game, but really the most important part of that, Mark, it's the first game in the IST. And you know how much that means to me. The in-season tournament starts next Tuesday.
I wonder what they're going to do with the floor here. But that game is here.
They got to gussy it up. It can't be just a regular old floor.
Are they doing more this year? I heard they were like, they're going to do something else too, not just like fancy paint on the floor, right? I don't know what
else.
I'll
Google it, yeah.
But I think that they're going to do more.
And I'm fascinated by what the Warriors are going to do super, super special for Klay. Like, I don't think you're just going to retire his number.
I don't think they will do that at all.
I think they'll do that later.
Later, yes.
I think they're going to do something even bigger.
I think it's something that no one's thinking of.
A giant ice sculpture of Klay.
You saying he's cold?
Ooh, he's ice cold. When he's dialed in, he's so, so cold.
I did, like when we were talking about the carnival, the Klay. And by the way,
carnival.
Well, somebody said, we'll just call it the Klay Day Carnival. And I'm like, that's better.
It is.
That's better. So maybe we'll just end up doing that.
Pretty wordy, but yeah.
No, anyway, we're talking about, right, we'll have a little pool out there so you can go on a toy boat ride with Klay. You can make paper airplanes. And someone said, you should have a little area where you can build a house with bricks.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, are we doing this next week?
I wish I didn't think that was funny and clever.
We've got time. We've got four more shows after this one before Klay Thompson and the Mavericks take the floor. But, like, are some of you feeling mean-spirited in a way for the build-up to that game? Bricks? Really? That's how you want to welcome him back to town?
We're going to have a mini hoop, and if you can successfully miss 10 straight shots, you get a prize. You get a trip to Sacramento. Da, 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 da.
Here's Steve Kerr on the test that is waiting for them in the next three games.
In the course of 82 games, you just the schedule can go back and forth. Your health, lots of stuff can happen. You know, if you win 6 out of 7 in February, it doesn't get on the radar as easily as it does when you win 6 of your first 7 to start the season. So, you know, I know everybody is singing our praises, but the schedule has been kind to us to this point, and we're about to play probably the three best teams in the league the rest of this week. So great test for us. No matter what happens, we've got a ton of work ahead of us. I'm excited because when I watch the tape, I see all kinds of growth ahead of us. But it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take some time.
And Draymond Green also talking about the environment that he expects to encounter in Beantown.
We beat them in NBA Finals a few years ago. And then they just won one. So they want to dish everything back to us about them just winning one. And, you know, it's always a hostile environment. So don't expect anything different. It'll be a tough environment against a very good team, great team, tough team to play against. But it's a hostile environment just like any other hostile environment.
And we have an update.
Yeah?
We have an update on tonight's game. In fact, we have two updates on tonight's game. It will not be a 12-man rotation for the Golden State Warriors. I'll start with this one, and it is that Steph Curry, according to Steve Kerr, has had any minutes restriction lifted. There will be no minutes restriction for Steph Curry. He is at full health and ready to go for the game in Boston that starts here in an hour and 15 minutes. So that's number one. But number two, Pods is out.
He's out?
Yeah, that illness that took him out of the game in the middle of the game a couple of nights ago is still in him, whatever it is. He is not feeling well enough to go, so there is no Brandon Pajemski in the game tonight for Golden State. I think that's actually a pretty big loss.
It's a huge loss. I mean, a guy who does a ton for you off the bench, and he's certainly a glue guy. He can rebound for you, score a little bit, distribute, plays great D, takes charges, but that doesn't necessarily prevent them from having a 12-man rotation because you still have Gee Santos and Pat Spencer. So I wouldn't put it past Steve to go ahead and slide one of those dudes in there.
I would.
Keep it 12.
I would. Come
Steve's
on.
Comfortable with his dozen.
Yeah, what are we doing? I mean,
I do think it's more interesting to see if he goes to a 9 or a 10-man rotation, knowing that this is a I don't know if it's a big game, but, you know, Boston's going to be competitive. It's going to be tough. I wonder if he doesn't shorten down a little bit.
I think what we're hearing from everyone is that they don't look at tonight. Of course you want to win it, but they don't look at tonight as anything special in the standings. They look at tonight as an opportunity to find out what the hell's going on. And that's actually how I look at it. Tonight is an opportunity to find out what is actually going on. That's why I am so in on this game, because the Warriors are 6-1, and I can feel it, Warrior fans. You're not sure yet. You're not sure yet whether or not to believe this. And tonight is an opportunity to find out. It's the first real opportunity to find out what's actually going on. And if it doesn't go well, that doesn't mean that we've got all the answers. And by the way, if it does go well, it doesn't mean that we've got all the answers. I think it's a series of these opportunities. But tonight is opportunity number one to go, what do we really got here? Which is, I think, an interesting sort of conversation to have. Like, what do you think that we've actually got here? And the options are like a paper tiger or an actual surprising contender, or option three, I would say, a good basketball team that's jockeying for position to make itself an even better basketball team.
And that's probably what the answer is no matter what happens tonight. And, you know, you could look at the next four games, and if they emerge 10-1 or 6-5 or somewhere in between, because those are the options. Over the next four, you're 6-1 right now. You could be 10-1, 9-2, 8-3, 7-4, or 6-5. No matter what happens over the next four games, I personally don't look at it and say, okay, now I'm going to make a sweeping statement about who you are. If they win all four and they're 10-1, I'm not going to suddenly say, well, you're a championship team now. It's NBA finals or bust.
Well, no, it's
and
November.
If you go 6-5, I'm not going to look and say, well, you can't beat good teams. You're going to be a play-in team. Man, I hope you can get the 10 seed.
No,
for me, these four games are not about sweeping statements. It's a good, solid check-in, though. It's a good time to check in and see where you're at and how you can do against good teams.
Okay, but then do you count this as a sweeping statement? Because I'm going to do it tomorrow if they win tonight. I'm going to come in here tomorrow and say, I'm going to rub my hands together, too. We got something. If they win tonight, I'm saying it.
Well, I'll say it even if they lose, because I think that we've got something.
Okay.
And, you know, it's 6-1, but the way they're going about being 6-1, they played a couple of really bad teams, and they throttled them. It wasn't like, how'd they get away with that one? Portland and Utah were never in that game. New Orleans came in with their two best players, and you took them apart. The Clippers got you fine. Houston was good. You beat them and you lost to them, and then you beat them again.
Yeah, like, I don't know. By the way, that's something that's probably being undersold. I don't think the Houston Rockets are a bad team.
No, they're good.
Yeah,
they're good.
I don't think that about
them
at all.
I think that's a good win.
I mean, they're 4-3, but it's not even just about their record. Like, I remember them from last year looking at them and going, you're young. You're not bad. You're just young. And now you're a year older.
And the way they ended the year last year, they ended the year with a flurry of wins.
The Houston Rockets might be a play-in team.
Oh, for sure.
They might be a play-in
team. Definitely a play-in team.
I don't know about definitely. I mean,
well, if you take Utah and Portland and you put them in the corner, now we're down to 13 teams in the West.
Spurs aren't going
to. Now we're down to 12 teams.
Okay.
So you got 12 to make 10. So there are going to be two teams that are on the outside looking in.
They might be one of those teams.
And Memphis too.
Yeah, there's Memphis. There's New Orleans.
Yep.
I don't know. Like they're injured. They're going to get people back. They're 3-5. But yeah, Memphis.
And I'm not putting the Adorables.
I was going to say.
You know, the Sacramento Kings. I'm not putting the Adorables necessarily in a firm spot.
No, so definitely not.
As far as rubbing your hands together, I look at what we've seen. Forget the record. 6-1 is great. But just looking at this team feels like a top six team in the West. Not for sure, because nothing is for sure. But I think that they're already a real team.
Look, to your point. To your point now, I know that we owe small sample size. You're getting overly excited. Do you know how many teams in the Western Conference have fewer than three losses? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. I would guess. Well, I know two for sure, and that would be the end of the list.
Okay.
I know Dallas has three.
There's actually, there's only three teams. There's three teams. Oklahoma City has not lost.
Number three.
And the Suns and Warriors have only lost
once.
Suns.
That's right.
Yeah, the Suns and Warriors are both 6-1. And then it falls all the way to 4-3. And that's silly in an NBA season to get excited about that. We're seven games in. But my point is, like, I think we're overstating the whole, well, they haven't beaten anybody. Well, no. It's the NBA. It's the NBA. You lose a lot of your road games no matter who you're playing. And I don't think Houston is that bad. I know New Orleans was beat up, but I don't think they're that bad. Plus, you did it in one of those back-to-back soirees that's really weird and hard to do when you're playing the exact same team two nights in a row. And so defensively, they sort of know what to do. They know what adjustment to make, what have you. Look at the history of those back-to-backs. It's a lot of splits. And I remember a lot of people going into that whole thing going, it'd be great if the Warriors could come out with a split. Well, they came out with both of them. So to your point, I don't think you can go 6-1 and actually not be a pretty good team, but it's just that you happen to be playing really bad teams. I don't really buy that. I don't really buy that, especially with the fact that they're winning almost exclusively by double digits.
Yeah, they have the second best point differential in basketball. OKC with a 17.4. They're at 17.3 point differential. And that includes the game against Houston where they were up by 31 and they had to hold on for dear life to win in overtime. But you dominated Portland and Utah. You handled New Orleans twice. You beat Houston on the road. I think that you can start to look at some of these wins the way they've won it and really put some stock in the fact that this team is real. So I'm going to come in tomorrow, even if they lose tonight and it's ugly and it's lopsided and things get out of hand, I still come in tomorrow if they're 6-2 and rub my hands together and still think that they're real.
Well, you may well be right. By the way, just to answer, we did get a couple people reaching out saying, where is Greg Cosell dunking on Dan Dibley?
Oh, boy.
Where is that? I show up on Wednesdays.
When you look at the Niners receivers between Juwan Jennings and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who is the...
Yeah, where's Dan Dibley getting dunked on by Greg Cosell?
And that was my fault.
That
sorry.
Was
and
really
also,
awkward.
Where is Mark Grandy going with this segment?
Yeah.
What was that? What were you?
It was Dibs's question to Cosell that turned into Cosell saying that was a great question, but I forgot how long the drop was.
Yeah, it took too long. You want to play something else? You can hit anything else you want right now.
It's a great question.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
So, but where is it? Well, it'll be tomorrow. It'll be right. Are we doing it tomorrow?
Yep.
Greg Cosell tomorrow, right? Yeah, because we got the Warriors are about to play the Celtics, and we're not gonna put a muzzle on Greg. We're not gonna ask him to shorten it up or tighten it up. That's not what we're about around here.
I hope he was watching the game on Monday night because I've got a lot of questions from the tape, Tampa and KC tape that we want to get into. Because we're not gonna go all the way back and look at the Dallas game, right? From 11 days ago? That seems foolish to me.
No, we probably will a little bit. It's not so much the Dallas game. It's more the generalities of the certain individuals and the way they're playing.
And I hope he's ready for some Khalil Davis questions about whether or not he can be the answer on the D-line.
Lucas, will you please get Greg Cosell ready for Khalil Davis questions?
He better already be ready.
He's not ready. But come on, that's a third-string defensive tackle on
not
the Texans.
Anymore. Now he's our guy.
Yeah, I think he's still third string.
Well, I mean, second string probably.
Yeah,
he gonna play.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN says the Warriors, he did Western Conference power rankings. He's got the Warriors fourth.
Was that just Western? I thought that was the whole NBA.
No, that was a Western Conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair.
He's got the T-Wolves, the Suns, and the Thunder ahead of the Warriors.
And even if they lose tonight, I think you would still keep them in that same spot. For me, anyway. I don't look at tonight's game as a show me you're real or not.
It doesn't grab your attention that he has them ahead of Denver. He has them ahead of the Nuggets. He has them ahead of the Mavs.
Yes and no, but I think Denver might be on the downside of their run.
You might be right.
Yeah. And I know Aaron Gordon is currently out. So.
And they're not getting the normal production that they do out of certain members of their team. Right now, Jamal Murray stands out as someone who doesn't quite look right. So I don't know if something's going on there or if that's lasting or what have you. But, you can look at this and be like, dude, tiny sample. And then there are other mathematical ways to say it, too, as in this is 10% of the season. After tonight, that's it. That's 10% of the season.
Yep.
I don't think it's crazy to start making some general statements.
You can, but at the same time, if this was an NFL season and you were 10% of the year in, which is two games, and your team was 2-0, you know, you might say, oh, it's Super Bowl. We're going to the bowl. But it's only two games out of 17 in the NFL.
Do you know what's about to happen on this radio station?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do. It's Warriors Live.
It's better when I say that I don't have any idea.
Yeah, because then I can unveil it. I appreciate that. That was nice of you. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. And hang out, because the countdown starts now. Tip-off is in an hour, and Warriors Live is next on Willard and Dibs.